Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Hallelujah. The Lord wants to speak to us tonight. The Lord wants to bless us tonight. The Lord wants to make us stronger. The pandemic has no way lessened my relationship or my faith in God. That doesn't affect me. Entertainers do not affect me. Their positions, politicians do not affect me. Elections do not affect my religion or my alliance to Almighty God. Jesus is my Lord, no matter what happens. Amen. Praise God. But God just happened to call me to preach, which is a noble calling with certain liabilities and great assets. I've said many times, you know, that I don't get to be an umpire. People want to be an umpire. People always ask me, what do you think? Like it matters. It doesn't matter what I think. It's just an opinion, just like yours. So if my opinion doesn't matter, what about yours? It don't matter either. It's what God says. And so I don't get to be the umpire. I'm just a pitcher. I don't get to call balls or strikes. I don't get to say who's safe or out. But I do have an informed opinion. That opinion is informed by the Word of God. I do have to know the rule book. You don't know the rule book, you really can't beat you. You got to know where the strike zone is. Praise God. You got to know what a balk is. You're going to be a pitcher. And if you're a pitcher, you don't get to throw at the batter. You know, I was raised in churches where they let pitchers throw at the batter. That was dangerous. Go to church feeling so good, they'd bean you before you got out of there. So when I come to the house of God, I'm not throwing at anybody. I'm throwing to you. I hope you hit a home run. Praise God. I hope you reach out and take a hold of the Word of God. Amen, amen, amen. The Pope today condones same-sex unions. See that? I hope that's not good news for anybody here tonight. You know, but what the Pope says doesn't affect me much. There's not a one in a million chance that I'll meet the Pope. But there's a 100% chance I'm going to meet Jesus face to face. And if I met the Pope, I wouldn't have to give an account of anything I've done or said. But as a preacher of the gospel, when I stand before Jesus, I'm going to have to give an account of everything I say. And that is important, everything I preach. And so just to go on record, abortion is murder, homosexuality is an abomination, and adultery is sin. I just want to put that on record. So when I stand before Jesus, I can play this tape back. Because he really didn't call me to comment on hairdos and hair don'ts, but he called me to tell you the truth. For it is the truth that will make you free. Amen? That's not a political platform. That's a Bible mandate. And we need to know what the Bible says. So I just say let God be true and every man a liar. That includes the Pope, the President, and the biggest tither I've ever met. If I've got to choose over the biggest tither, you might have a $100,000 check in your hand right now. But I have to choose between you and God. I'm going to choose God every time. Because it ain't going to be long till I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And all this is not going to matter. My allegiance is to God. And you can't be faithful to God and disregard his word. Let's turn to the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. That did not cost you anything. Just ask you to second my offering. Put another $5 in. That's all it cost you, okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Imposing the will of God on the devil, part 3. You may be seated. Hey, this world's a mess. Did you know that? There's a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of sickness, a whole lot of hatred, a whole lot of prejudice, bias, a whole lot of death. The end is listless. And to say the will of God is done on this earth is to make a railing accusation against God that God does not accept, nor do I make. The will of God is seldom done on this earth. That's the reason why he taught us to pray, Christ, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's no need to make that prayer if it's already come to pass. Apparently the will of God is not being done on earth, and so Christ would instruct us in his model prayer to make that the real anchor of our prayer. The will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the reason Jesus enjoined us to pray two things. It's all in the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom come, and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two things happened to me lately. One of those, I was in a restaurant, and I said to the lady, from my mask to hers, I said, all because one Chinese guy wanted to eat a bat, we got to go through this. She said, no, that's not it. She said, because one Chinese government boxed it up and shipped it to us. I said, you might be right. I don't know. You know, the difference between me and Dr. name, Fauci, is I know three words he doesn't know. Those three words are, I don't know. I feel sorry for him and all the scientists and doctors. They're working as hard as they can, but the bottom line is they just don't know. It's all new territory. But anyway, she said, I think they sent it to us. I said, I don't know. You might be right. But she said, you know what I think? I said, what do you think? And she said, I think our only hope is the rapture. I was shocked. She didn't look like a Christian, because I don't even know what Christians look like. And then I was sitting with my lawyer. He's a bad cussing Catholic. I mean, he cusses. I'm sorry. It'd take less time just not to cuss than it would all the apologies, lawyer. But he's a strong Catholic. I was asking him different questions about things that are happening legally and what's going to happen during the election, after the election, if Trump gets back in. And I said, just picking his mind. He said, Steve, there ain't no hope but the rapture. Now, this is not Living Way people. These are not brothers in the ministry. These are just people on the street. The Bible said in the last days they'll start calling for the coming of the Lord. Friend, we could be there. Amen? So God's will is a possibility. It is a possibility. He would not have asked us to pray if it was already done, but he would not have asked us to pray for it if it was not a possibility. It is a distinct possibility. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul said, he raised us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the will of God might be done all over the world, but it can be done in your world. And that's what's important to you. You have your own little world, your little sphere of influence, your family, your friends, the people that you interact with. In your little world, the will of God can be done. But it won't be done probably if you do not take an active interest in seeing that it's done, because the truth is, you being who you are, where you are on a Wednesday night, you're probably the most spiritual person in your circle of influence. You hear what I said? Most of you that would be at Living Way Church on a Wednesday night are the most spiritual person in the circle of your influence. So you've got a real weight on your shoulders, a real responsibility, and that is to pray that the will of God be done in your life, in your mama's life, your daddy's life, your kid's life, your spouse's life, your family's, your cousins, your friends, as much as you can. That's what we are praying for. What does a heavenly place mean? A place where God's kingdom has come down. That's a heavenly place. I've always thought it was just a good place to feel good in the Holy Ghost. You know, I've been in so many those good services where they're just so ecstatic. We run and shout. And I said, man, that's a heavenly place. But really, a heavenly place is where the kingdom of God has come down. A place where God's will is being done in spite of the devil's best effort to subvert the purpose of God on this earth. That's what a heavenly place is. And we, with our salvation, how many people are saved? With our salvation and with the power of the Holy Ghost, how many people have the Holy Ghost? How many people have the power of the Holy Ghost? How many people got the Holy Ghost and they hid it away and they forgot where they put it? At my age, I put so many things away, I can't remember. I'm very organized, but I just have to remember where I organized it to. And so some people have received the Holy Ghost, they say, but wherever they put it, they forgot where it is. Do you have the Holy Ghost power? And the real answer to that question is, does it work on Thursday or just on Wednesday night and Sunday morning? If you've got the Holy Ghost, it'll work in the strangest places, in the most adverse circumstances, around the worst possible people, in the very presence of the devil himself, because it's the power of the Holy Ghost. And so if you have salvation, the power of the Holy Ghost, it has ordained you to impose the will of God on the devil, whether the devil likes it or not, and I can tell you, he don't like it. I showed you in the first session, the foundation for imposing the will of God is to determine the will of God. You're not going to impose the will of God if you don't know the will of God. And that's probably the greatest factor I've seen in Christian people. They say to me constantly, and this has been all my ministerial life, I'm looking for the will of God. I'm searching for the will of God. Pray I'll know the will of God. I might be naive, but I haven't found the will of God as difficult to find as some people have. I think the reason why some people find the will of God so difficult to find, obtain, understand, it runs counteractive to their fleshly nature, so they want to act like, oh, I didn't know that he didn't want me to marry the girl out of the club, and he wanted me to marry. I didn't know that was the will of God. It's really easy to act like you're ignorant when you're not. You're as sharp as a tack, spiritually alert, but act like you don't know the will of God. But if you don't know the will of God, then you're not going to be able to impose the will of God in your world on the devil. I showed you that you must know the will of God, which is drastically different than what the will of the world is, and certainly different than what the devil wants, and certainly different than what most religion wants, and most of the time it's different than what your deceived heart wants. You've got to determine the will of God and say, that is going to be the driving force of my life, is to walk in the will of God. Because that's really what faith is. It's not just an eerie feeling. It's not just an impulse of the second. The real faith is saying, the will of God is now running counterproductive to my flesh, but I know if I do the will of God, it will end up big with a big reward for me. The will of God will not be determined if you don't know the Word of God and you're not led by the Holy Ghost. And very few people know the Word of God, and even less are led by the Holy Ghost. In the second session, I showed you that the first weapon of offense is of offense to the devil is to impose the will of God on the devil in prayer, learning how to pray. And you can pray, and when you do, it just brings knots up on the devil's head. Bible for that, your heel will bruise his head through the Holy Ghost. Tonight I want to show you another great weapon in the next few moments, and that's the great weapon of praise. Praise is an amazing weapon. The 149th Psalm, I'd like to read it all to you, but to save time, verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor hath all the saints, praise ye the Lord, and that's preceded by this verse, let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Praise is the execution of the will of God. You know, it's one thing, I was going through the files today, and Pastor Brandon, I saw the will. You figure pretty strongly in there. The bad news is you don't get it tonight. Bad for you, great for me. But praise executes the will of God. You say, well, if it's the will of God, it can't be executed now. Oh, yes, because Jesus Christ has died. And when he died, the fact that he's resurrected did not circumvent the will being executed. It's the best of both worlds. It's just the best of both worlds. Pastor Brandon, if I could die now and you could inherit all that I'm going to leave you, and then I'd still be here to be the loving father, the concerned, compassionate father, the example, the best friend. You know all the things I am, all of that. It'd be the best of both worlds. Well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus died, and so the will now comes to pass and in play, but praise God, he came back. He said the insurance can't deny it because I did die, and there is proof, many infallible proofs. And so I died, but praise God, I'm back. And so the will of God is now available to us, but we have to execute it. And the Bible said that we execute it with what? With high praises. Praise is the execution of the will of God. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand. number 7, verse number 7, to execute vengeance upon the heathen. Verse number 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And 9, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor hath all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. That's a powerful passage. That all of that is available against the enemies of the kingdom of God, which are your enemies. And all of that offensive power can be executed by praise. When you talk about sports, they always talk about execution. The coaches always like to talk about it because once they say it's execution, that means it's off my shoulders. It's off my plate. It's the players now. But I watched the coach of the Cowboys said it was all his fault. I never thought I'd ever want Coach Garrett back, but I believe I do. No? Couldn't be any worse. I read on Facebook, somebody said, give me 8-8 one more time, Coach Garrett. But the coach always likes to say, it's execution. Because what he's saying is, I gave them the instructions. I gave them the practice. But they didn't do on the field what I wanted them to do. And so when we talk about execution, that means it's in the word. It's in the plan. But it's up to us to actually get it to be a part of our life. Impose God's will on the heathen. That's not talking about demons. That's talking about people. Somebody said, you know, I don't really, well, people can be a problem. You know that. He said, impose God's will on the heathen. Impose it on the people. Impose God's will on the kings and the nobles. That means devils and demons. Spirits, impose the written word on them. Our provision for every need is in the book, but we must get it from the written to the virtual. It must take place in our life. Take it from the page and get it on the field. Execute a will. Take it from the paper to reality. Distinguish that God will take from the heathen. I'm jumping to that real quick. That's a part of the written plan. Did you ever read it? Let me read it for you. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Friend, this is not quite as easy as we want to make it. You know, just everybody's good, everybody's nice. No, there's some heathen out there. They're terrible people, and they're rich people, and they ain't never going to make Jesus their Savior. They're never going to get saved. They're always going to be devils. God said, I got a plan. And that plan is, while you're on this earth, I will take from those evil people, those heathen people, and I will give it to the just. Now, that is a promise. That is a promise. Say, well, it ain't happened to me. That's the reason I'm preaching this sermon. I'm trying to get it to happen to you. There's some good people in this church that don't even have a savings account. And there are some evil people in this world that's got hundreds of millions of dollars. And the will of God, believe it or not, is to get some of that from the evil people to God's people. That's God's plan. And God said that the high praise of your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, that's the praise and the word. He said, that will execute judgment upon the heathen. That will cause them. You know, that's the reason why I'm getting a little bit sidebar here, but that's the reason why we're not to sue. You know, the Bible says not to sue a brother. That's the reason I don't like to do business with people in church. I might want to sue somebody. I can't sue you. I just got to let you walk all over me. I don't like to do business with people in church because I'm planning on, when I go into a business deal, I'm planning on being the head and not the tail. Bad thing is, on every business deal, there's a head and there's a tail. And I do my very best to come out to be the head every time. Well, if I do business with a brother, a sister, I got a little problem here. The best I can do is come out even. And so I don't like to do business because I don't want to sue a brother. In fact, I'm not going to sue a brother. In fact, the Bible said for us not to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's the reason a brother's not supposed to sue a brother. But the Bible said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Not a brother, not a sister, a heathen. The biggest blessings of my life. Now, spiritual blessings have come from brothers, sisters, the church. But the greatest financial blessings of my life have always come from heathens. And that is God's will. I can make the case in the scripture that most of our financial gain should come from the unsaved. You should not be blessed at the expense of your brother or your sister. Praise is the initial portal for God to overpower adversity in your life. That's the reason why the Bible said he inhabits praise. What does that mean? That means he sets up his headquarters. When you begin to develop a high praise in your life, it means that God sets up a headquarters in your life and begins to work out of that. And no matter what it is, kings and nobles, I mean demon spirits and devils, are just ugly heathen people. It don't matter. Praise God. You are going to be able to impose the will of God in that circumstance. And every time, it is the will of God. Say that with me. Every time. Every time. Every time. Every time. You are to be the head and never the tail. Every time. That's the will of God. If you're truly saved, you're to be the head and not the tail. Praise is the vehicle used to impose God's will when one is bound by sin. What do you mean? Oh, look at this. I never noticed it to the degree. In the first place, the Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so the Lord wants you to impose his will over sin. But here's what I want to show you right now. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 36 and 30 through 39. And when one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, not had been a sinner, not a convert, not a used to be, which was a sinner in present tense. And the Bible says that twice about her. She stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them and the hairs of his head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And suddenly Christ is now in her corner. And sin is totally defeated in her life as she breaks that alabaster box. What are you saying? I'm saying that no matter who you are or where you are or what your life is or your lifestyle, if you can open up the portal of praise in your life, it gives God a platform to work in. And that sin, you know, sin is really difficult to overcome sometimes. Even though Jesus came and shed his blood, even though it has been preordained in the Word of God, even though the Lamb was slain from the foundation, sin can get a hold on you. And there are a lot of people that want to quit the sin they're in, and they've confessed to me, Pastor, I don't want to do this. The Apostle Paul talked about it. He said, when I would do good, evil is present. I do that which I don't want to do. It's very easy if you live in a fleshly temple, and we all do, to get bound by sin. You say, I just can't get over it. I've prayed and I've gone to church and I wrote checks and I shook hands and I hugged necks and I don't know what to do. It's a good place to start by opening up a portal for the will of God to be done and to subdue the sin in your life by praising God. Keep in mind, the devil is a liar. And so he told Adam and Eve, you have sinned. Now the best thing you can do is run from God. And so what the devil tells you, you have sinned. And so the best thing you can do is don't go to church. The best thing you can do is don't praise. because you would be a hypocrite. Hey, when you praise God, ain't nobody got a saint detector on you. Oh, said she's praying, she's 100% saint of God. Ain't nobody checking on that. When you praise God just because you've got a problem in your life, it doesn't make you a hypocrite. What it makes you is a knocker on the door, a seeker of God, an asker of the Lord, and say, hey, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm opening up a portal for God to inhabit because I realize that a sinner came into the Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee didn't like it because she was a sinner. But when she began to break the alabaster box and wipe Jesus' feet with her hair and cry tears of praise, suddenly Jesus was on her side and was really against the religious person, saying, no, she's in the right here because she's a praiser. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you can develop high praise, if you can develop high praise, you can impose the will of God on a sin, on a circumstance, on a situation, and suddenly where you have been defeated, you will be like David. You'll be standing there cutting off the head of Goliath and say, look what happened to me. She was literally delivered from her sins, whatever it was. Number two, praise is the vehicle used to impose God's will on the devil when one is demon-possessed. That's an amazing thing. That's just an amazing thing. The Bible said, here's the verse, these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. Now for the execution. Now for the will of God. Here was the demonic of the Gadarenes, Gadara, and they had done everything they could do. They had imprisoned him. They had chained him up. Society had done everything they could to deliver and heal this man and set this man free. And when they failed, they just said, we will imprison him. But then he broke out of jail and he lived in the cemetery. And when Jesus came along, remember the Bible teaches us that he had 6,000 demons. But when Jesus came along, not after the Bible study, not at the altar, not after 2 months of going to church, not after a record of paying tithes, not after he'd been voted on by the church, but when he saw Jesus, verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Remember this, God will not usurp our will. He just won't do it. But realize this either, neither will he let the devil usurp our will. You are the one that decides what's going to happen. And here was a man that had 6,000 demons. And you say, well, I just can't worship the Lord. Then you've got to have at least 6,001 demons, because I know 6,000 can't stop you. You've got to have a lot of them. You've got to exceed the limit, because I know the limit of 6,000 doesn't work. Because 6,000 demons could not stop this man. He came and ran as he was. You see, I was raised in church where we qualified worshipers. It was tough back in those days. I mean, it was a dress code. It was a no jewelry, no makeup. It just lots of things. And it wasn't anything spiritual, because you can't see spiritual problems. You could have hatred, bias. We didn't care about that because we can't see it. But that's one reason why legalism loves outward things. They're so easy to judge, and that's what legalism likes to do. It likes to judge. And so when you make it about hair and clothes and jewelry and all that, it's very easy to judge. And so I was raised in those churches. You ain't qualified to worship the Lord. You got to change your clothes. You're going to have to change a lot of things before we let you worship God. But Jesus let a man with 6,000 demons, handcuffs hanging on his arm. The Bible said he cut himself. He was bleeding. And Jesus says, all right, you can worship me if you want to, because when you worship me, I will not be usurping your will, because when you worship me, what you're saying is, God, I want you to take over my life. No matter what it looks like, God, I am giving you permission to be the Savior of my spirit and the Lord of my life. And when he began to worship God, when he began to worship Jesus, suddenly Jesus could deliver him from those demons. So don't tell me you've got a habit you can't overcome, or you've got a demon that won't leave you alone. Oh, yes, 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 yes. If you become a true worshiper, if you develop what it is to give God high praise, no matter what sin, we talked about that with the alabaster box, no matter what demon, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is going to become not only your Savior, but your Lord. And so when you praise God, you're not doing that just to feel good, and you will feel good. It's fun to praise God. It's exciting to praise God. It releases spiritual adrenaline to praise God. I love to praise God. But all of that is a byproduct of what is happening because I'm opening up a portal and God is moving in. And everything that is sinful, everything that is demonic, everything that is ungodly is expelled because now God has my permission to drive everything out that is not like him. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Number three, praise is the vehicle that is used to impose God's will when his people are imprisoned physically or spiritually. I just feel like I'm just bound up. I'm not free. Jesus, here's the verse. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the broken, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now for the execution. And at midnight, it's significant that God chose to record the time, the crisis hour, at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Friend, I'm going to tell you, don't tell me I can't get delivered. It doesn't matter where you are. I've told you three or four times in the past 45 years about one of the great godly women that I know was called upon the people that run the prison to join an ecclesiastical group of ministers to go visit the prison and see the conditions and the people there. And they warned them, said, "Now the next woman you see will be very offensive. She apparently has severe mental problems. She'll run at the cell when she sees us, but we want to warn you. She'll tear her clothes off. She'll spit at you through the bars. But my friend, when she saw her, she said some of the denominational preachers actually laughed at the woman. She was so violent. But she said, I cried. When I saw her, I cried. She said, I knew, but for the grace of God, there go I. And she said, I began to sing. And she began to sing, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And the woman closed on around her. Spittle from her face and said, I was allowed to meet with the woman out of her cell, which was unusual, take her into the chapel and begin to talk to her about Jesus, and said she received Jesus. I laid my hands on her and she received the Holy Ghost, and within 6 months, she said it took some time and some red tape, but within 6 months, I had her out of that asylum and back with her family, living a normal life. Friend, I tell you, there's not a prison. There's not a prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and began to sing praise. And when they did, the jail was shaken. The door was opened. What was meant for a catastrophe turned into a revival. That's where the church of Philippi really started, in that jail, because two guys that were in solitary confinement, not only in jail, but in stocks, the Bible records, began to praise. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm just in a prison. It might not be a sin prison. It might just be a limitation. You ain't got no money. You can't get ahead. You can't get your business off the ground. You're limited. I don't know what it is. It's a prison. But friend, I promise you that if praise becomes a real factor in your life, it will break open the jail door. It will set you free. It will deliver the captive. Jesus said it would, and I believe Jesus. And I've told you more than 10 times about where we were financially, or where I was financially a long time before I saw any of y'all. But we just didn't have any money, and we were trying to build. And I couldn't get any money because it was too neat. You know what's neat? This is a sidebar. The first loan I ever got here in San Antonio was $38,000. The bank that loaned me, I've been gone from them now 40-some years. The bank that loaned me that first $38,000, which I thought was all the money in the world, called me the other day, and they want us to move all of our business back there. And I said to the lady, I said, is there anybody there that remembers me? She said, the guy that made the first $38,000 loan said he remembers you, and he said, get him back over here. I don't know if there's a spiritual significance, but it's just fun that I'm going back to where I started with that. But back to my story. When we had no money, no hope of any money, and we were trying to build that first building of the three that's over there, and I was in that KSLR radio station. I was in that same building today, actually. The station's no longer there. I was in a building on some other business today, but I thought about it. But when I came down from that 12th floor, I start praising God at the 12th floor, and it's like the elevator we got back here in the church. It's the slowest thing in the world. I don't know whether you can adjust the speed in those things or not. But I got in this elevator here one day, and I was 43, and when I got off, I was getting Social Security. That's how slow it is. Man, it's slow. And that one over there, I thought it was that slow. Apparently, it was not that slow because I was in that elevator by myself, and I began to praise God uproariously. I begin to speak in tongues. I begin to shout. I begin to clap my hand. I begin just act a fool like you wouldn't act in front of anybody. And I don't know how long that went on, but I do know when I opened my eyes, I wasn't on the 12th floor anymore. I'd gone 12 floors, and I was facing the lobby of that building over on Fredericksburg Road, and people were coming back from lunch, and there must have been 50 or 100 of them. I know there's a cold crowd, and they were all watching me with their eyes wide open. It wasn't saying a word. When I walked through them, it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. I mean, not 2 days later, not a month later. I mean, 15 minutes, less than that, 5 minutes from Fredericksburg Road down to 410 and Fredericksburg Road. I walked into what was called Citizens Frost Bank and said, I'm here to see about getting some money. And they said, let me introduce you to a woman named Claudelle Kircheville. And she became my banker for years. She was the one that said she was in the physical community. She said, for just a little bit, I'd go down to Steve's church and go. She fell in love with me. God gave me literally favor with her. And I walked in there after that praise fit I was having in that elevator. 5-10 minutes later, gave her a few little papers I had and said, Miss Kircheville, I need $1 million. She talked with me a while, smoked her cigarette. You could smoke back in those days everywhere. She smoked, and she told me, she said, son, because she was old enough to be my mother at least, she said, son, I really like you. And she said, you know, I can get you $1 million, but it might take a week or two. I said, I can wait a week or two. And within 2 weeks, I had $1 million, and you say, what's that got to do with it? I think that I was in a financial prison. But I think when I prayed, it was exactly praised. It was exactly like Paul and Silas in that jail praising God. And God broke open that jail. And I tell you tonight, there's somebody in this building that you're in a jail. And if you would understand what I'm saying. Now, you can't do it here tonight. Praise has got to become a lifestyle, folks. You got to praise God in church. You got to praise God in your car. You got to praise God at home. You got to praise God when you get a good phone call and when you get a bad phone call. You got to praise God in front of your friends. You got to praise God in the presence of your enemies. You say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to impose the will of God on my prison, and God is going to set me free. In the name of Jesus, I believe it's going to start tonight for somebody. Hey, this is Wednesday night. We've got how many hours from Wednesday to Sunday morning? Tell me real quickly. Who's smart? It's several hours. 80-some hours. I don't know what it is. From now, in the next 70, 80 hours, God's going to break somebody out of jail because you're going to praise God tonight. You're going to praise God in the morning. When you get up, the first thing you're going to think about, oh, I need to praise God. I need to impose the will of God on my captivity. I need to be free. Oh, I want to be free. I want to be free from debt. I want to be free from all this junk. I want to be free. I just want to be set free. And you're going to do it right here tonight in the next few moments. You're going to do it going home in your car. You're going to do it in the morning when you get up. You're going to do it on your lunch hour. You're going to do it tomorrow evening. And by the time you get here next Sunday, praise God, you're going to say, hey, my life has changed. I used to be a prisoner. Paul and Silas went from prisoners to pastors overnight, literally baptizing their first converts within a matter of hours. And friend, I'm telling you, you're able to go from prison to victory overnight if you will allow the will of God to be accomplished in your life. The will of God is seldom done in this world, but the will of God can always be done in your world, in your life. If you learn these little secrets I'm giving you about opposing the will of God on sin, on demons, on prisons, on circumstance, just impose the will of God. Because it's the will of God for you to be the head and not the tail, to be the winner and not the loser, to be healthy and not sick, to be blessed and not be in poverty. That is the will of God. And somebody in this building right now, not everybody, nobody ever, never ever served everybody, but somebody in this building right now just needs to come out of their pew praising God and make your way up here and say, I am going to break out of prison, and it starts tonight with a brand new level of my praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The two hardest things I've ever done, is praise God for blessing financially when I'm broke and praise God for healing when I'm sick. Those are the two hardest things I've ever done. Just, you know, yesterday, man, last several weeks, energy's been through the roof. I've just been feeling like I'm 25 years old. And I got up yesterday morning, and I did not feel good. And you turn on the TV, and all they're talking about is COVID-19. And I got in my truck and drove an hour and 10 minutes. In an hour and 10 minutes, I quoted Scripture. I praised God. I rebuked the devil. And when I got out of that truck an hour and 10 minutes later, I felt like I was 25 again. The devil was just seeing if I was going to give him a place or not. I ain't going to give him no place. My place is filled with praise. My place is filled with praise. I am taking dominion over the devil. I'm imposing the will of God on the devil. And praise God, I am victorious in Jesus' name. Anybody in this room need to give your life to Christ? Anybody need to be saved? Anybody need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody need to be baptized?